Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be two times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
General, would you specifically tell me, state what the right is? Is it specifically abortion? Is it liberty? Is it autonomy? Is it privacy?
The right is grounded in the liberty component of the 14th Amendment, Justice Thomas, but I think that it promotes interests in autonomy, bodily integrity, liberty, and equality. And I do think that it is specifically the right to abortion here, the right of a woman to be able to control without the state forcing her to continue a pregnancy, whether to carry that baby to term.
I understand we're talking about abortion here, but what is confusing is that if we were talking about the Second Amendment, I know exactly what we're talking about. If we're talking about the Fourth Amendment, I know what we're talking about because it's written, it's there. What specifically is the right here?
That was a super based Clarence Thomas. That's just some of his questioning. All I want to do is replay his questioning today. That's all I want to do. I don't really care about anything else today. That's it. Can we just quit and just do that? Welcome to the show, danalash.com. Good to be with you today. And it is a lot to get into because this was pretty historic, what we just saw. It was incredibly historic, the opening arguments for this. And it may or may not. Welcome to the nationally syndicated radio show, right? The historic nature of this, because I don't, and it was interesting whether or not this is going to be something that actually overturns Roe v. Wade or Casey, which this fear mongering that this is going to remove abortion on demand or abortion as birth control, whatever. That's a lie because it would just end up going to the states. It doesn't ban anything. Overturning it actually just renders it back to the states, but that's a separate discussion. But it's huge, and we're going to break some of this down because the arguments continue on Monday. So this was just the oral arguments today. And we've heard back and forth from a lot of, I think each of the justices actually were able to weigh in with their questions on this. So that's pretty significant. So you're going to hear a lot about what they call stare decisis. How many times did you hear that today? You guys are going to be experts after this is done. Stare decisis, it's a Latin term. Stare decisis is, I think, often conflated with legal precedent. And stare decisis, the rough translation is to stand by things decided. And this was brought up a lot in this case because it's being used by pro Roe v. Wade advocates. It's being used as an argument for the courts to go by Roe v. Wade when considering Mississippi. Now, it's important because stare decisis is not the same thing as legal precedent. Stare decisis is the doctrine that obligates courts to look at precedents when making determinations. And this is all about this Dobbs versus Mississippi Jackson Women's Health, this case, this Mississippi case. There's actually, it limits abortions after 15 weeks, and it conflicts with Roe v. Wade and Casey on this. Two separate previous cases. It's Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, and the oral arguments began today. And so when you hear that discussion, stare decisis, what they're asking is that they believe, pro Roe v. Wade advocates believe, that the court is obligated to essentially stand by Roe v. Wade when making these determinations, and determining this Mississippi case by that way. Now, here's the problem with it. And I want to get into this, because this was something that Kavanaugh actually, I mean, it was weird, because I was writing I was actually filling down my rundown today, my show sheet. And like maybe 10 minutes after I was writing this in here, they literally made my point in this case. In fact, the problem with acting as though there is an obligation to go by precedent as opposed to taking it as a policy recommendation is that you're allowing a lot of other bad things to stand. So, for instance, you had Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh, noted that if the Supreme Court had adhered to, and again, it's not the same thing as legal precedent, it's the doctrine that obligates courts to look at precedent when making determinations. Kavanaugh noted that if SCOTUS had adhered to stare decisis, that Brown versus Board of Education and a number of other cases would have been wrongly decided. And they literally made my point on that, because Kavanaugh had said, quote, if we think that prior precedents, Roe and Casey, are seriously wrong, if that, why then doesn't the history of this court's practice suggest that the right answer is to return to the position of neutrality? And so that's the whole, it's very, very, very fascinating, this discussion. And it's less about, this isn't about like criminalizing abortion. What this is about, Roe versus Wade is an absolute crap decision in the first place, because it's activism and it's legislation. It's not actually a determination of existing law, or it's not at all whatsoever. I don't care if you're pro-choice or pro-life. You either recognize logic and fact or you don't. And admitting that Roe v. Wade is a absolutely heinous decision that abuses legal doctrine, and it because it literally takes the issue of privacy and it stretches it to include abortion as a definition. It's ridiculous. Admitting this isn't waving a white flag of surrender on your preference of pro abortion or anti-abortion. That's it. And I hate the terms pro-choice and pro-life, like you're anti, it's pro-abortion, pro-life. I mean, pro-life, I think that's an accurate term. But pro-choice, it's pro-abortion, because choice is always existing. It's acting like that there's an absence of choice if there's no choice in this. So I reject that phrasing. But the ideology of whether or not you are pro or anti-abortion is irrelevant in the context of how bad Roe is. And this, I'm not alone in thinking this. In fact, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, late Justice Ginsburg, had even decried the foundation upon which Roe was determined, because she was saying that it was a bad decision. And as a result, it's affecting other progressive cases. There are a number of progressive activists that are like, oh my gosh, it's affecting a number of other cases. And it is. Think about this. Regardless of where you stand on this, gay marriage would be illegal and punishable by various penalties in a number of states if you went by stare decisis. Apply stare decisis to Dred Scott. Apply stare decisis to Schenck v. United States, which was overturned 60 years later by Brandenburg. And that was an anti-First Amendment ruling. Schenck v. United States is where everyone gets that stupid, inaccurately applied phrase of shouting fire in a crowded theater, which actually wasn't a part of the official decision, but it was an addendum by Holmes. So there are a lot of things that would be affected. That's the whole issue here. Now, the idea of overturning this somehow means that it is criminal, it's criminalizing. It doesn't, because it actually just puts it back to the states. That's it. I mean, that's all it does. It doesn't actually criminalize or ban anything. Obviously, you're going to have states like California that are going to have very different laws than, like, say, states like Alabama. And here's the other thing. I actually believe, and we'll get into some of the other ancillary arguments with this, because there was a line of questioning, and I can't remember if, I don't remember if it was Gorsuch or if it was Kavanaugh. No, actually, I think it was Thomas. Clarence Thomas was brilliant in all of this, because he was bringing up Second Amendment and all of these other cases and Heller. Because think about how much that would be affected also, by the way, if you acted as though stare decisis was a rule rather than a recommendation, or the doctrine of obligation to look at precedent as opposed to like an absolute command to consider the precedent when making the determination. I mean, the problem, the thing with this is that because Roe v. Wade, the logic upon which it was decided and the determination itself is shaky, this, I think, creates, that's what makes the importance of the issue of stare decisis not being an actual command, but rather a doctrine about consideration, all the more important. And, you know, it wasn't, like we said, it wasn't a ruling that was based on solid law. We're going to talk about all of this. We're also going to talk here coming up, because this is going to take more time than I have left in this segment. I am so tired of hearing people get facts wrong and want to argue tiny exceptions as the universal rule. Again, I don't care if you, because there are people who, you know, maybe they agree on a lot of other issues. I approach this as a big tent thing. You guys know where my position is. I mean, I don't make any bones about it. You know, I believe that in our founding documents, you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And you can't have liberty and the pursuit of happiness without first securing the right to life. So that's my position on this. Putting any kind of personal preference aside, do we follow science and fact, or do we not? I mean, we all consider ourselves educated, intellectual people who are classical liberals, correct? Classical liberals, like in the Tocqueville sense. I'm not talking about like the abused bastardization of the term. Because when you look at Planned Parenthood's own numbers, and the latest that I have are from 2019, the Guttmacher, or Guttmacher Institute, 99% of abortions, these are elective, as done as a form of birth control. Barely 0.5% are actually rape or incest. And I don't mind having a conversation about 0.5% if it saves the 99%. Now, those are the latest figures, 2019. But here's the other part of this. The idea that when the mother's life is in danger. I feel like it is 2021. And so if we are going to talk about pregnancy and women's health and life, as someone who has birthed children, then I think that we need to bring it up out of the witch doctor territory and bring it into 2021. This idea that the only way to deal with such a serious issue is to terminate a pregnancy, like in the third trimester, is one of the most asinine, flat earth, hemlock drinking, Roman Inquisition things I have ever heard in my ever loving life. And it infuriates me because it is stupid. It is unscientific. And we have as a species progressed past the days of leeches and bleeding illnesses out of people. Why in the hell are we using that basic logic in 2021 as an argument for elective abortions and mother's health? I'm going to deep dive into that because I'm done with it. You're going to be completely equipped. I don't care what your position is. If you're going to have a position, be a smart person and base it on fact. Even if you still disagree after, I don't care. I'm a busy person. I don't give a rat's ass. I got stuff to do. But at least be smart and base it on fact. That's a rule I have on my house. If you're going to have a position, you better be able to A, articulate it, and B, you better be able to give citation of fact as to why you believe what you believe. We're going to get into that. We're also going to talk about the latest with the vaxes and mandates. The Biden administration is announcing Thursday more restrictions. We're going to talk about what this could mean and give some insight into this. We got some law and order. And did you know that Jussie Smollett was discovered during the trial yesterday, that they did a dry run of his fake kidnapping, and it's on video? Jeez. I can't even with these people. I'm honestly, like, what in the world? Tommy John's Cyber Monday sale is getting comfortable with the calendar and stretching out one more day. Stock up on your favorite warm clothes for chilling out this winter by shopping Tommy John's extended Cyber Monday sale. Give the gift of comfort to everyone on your list, including yourself, with Tommy John men's and women's loungewear. Tommy John loungewear features thoughtful tagless labels because you can't be comfy when you're getting scratched by a tag. In Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. And that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. With over 16 million pairs sold, giving Tommy John underwear and loungewear has become a holiday tradition. Plus, everything's backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. During Tommy John's extended Cyber Monday sale, get 20% off site-wide plus free shipping at TommyJohn.com/Dana. That's 20% off plus free shipping for a limited time at TommyJohn.com/Dana. Order now so your gifts arrive in time. TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so looking at some of the headlines here, I am excited about this one, guys. A concerning asteroid is going to break into Earth's orbit in 1 week, according to NASA. Could this be the answer to my prayers and just a big giant rock take out this other rock, the big rock we're on? Concerning, they say. NASA's concerned. This asteroid, they said, it's going to break into Earth's orbit. They say it's bigger than the Eiffel Tower, and it's going to break into our orbit in just over a week. It's a 1,082-foot space rock. And they said it should skim past us on December 11th. It's called Asteroid 4660 Nereus, because it's well over 492 feet. It's just so stupid. Going to come between 4.6 million miles of Earth. Oh, is that all? That's just down the street. But it does put it in the potentially hazardous category. NASA expects it to stay 2.4 million miles away from us, which is exactly how I feel about most people as we get closer to the holidays. That's about 10 times the distance between Earth and the moon. Looks like a giant space turd. I'm not going to lie. It does. Giant space turd floating through. If it hits the planet and knocks us all into dinosaur territory, we deserved it. Let's see. Am I being mean? Because I do. I'm not joking. Scientists discover potential cause of Alzheimer's disease. We're going to have fun saying this. Are you ready? Amyloid plaques and neurofibrillary tangles, which is exactly what I say to my hair when I run a brush through it in the morning. I get some neurofibrillary whatever tangles. But they said that scientists have discovered, and this is significantly huge, the potential cause for it. It's UC Riverside Research. Its cells slowed ability to clean themselves up. That's the cause of what they say is unhealthy brain buildup. Tel Aviv, also the most expensive city to live in now due to inflation. Stick with us.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
So these chicks are standing outside of the Supreme Court building, and they're making theater of taking a morning after pill or abortion pill. It's what they're calling them. And they're like, "Yay, we're pregnant right now. We're ending our pregnancies." And they're like making a big deal out of it. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Here's the problem: like, if you're trying to actually convince somebody that you are coming from a place of like seriousness, and you're coming from a place of genuineness, and you're not coming from a place of malice or anything like that, why would you do something like this? I am not going to take seriously no broad standing outside, you know, acting like, "Hey, I'm pregnant. I'm going to chug these pills, kill my baby, go drinking some water," all that. You know, I just don't. I'm like, what are you trying to do with that? You're not convincing anybody. I look at that and I'm like, I don't want to be like these broads. And it makes me not even want to hear your argument when you do this. That doesn't persuade people. That's just like pettiness and maliciousness. And it's always the same chicks. Like, do they all shop at the same place? Let's get a Hot Topic and get our outfits. We're all like weird, see, because uniformity and weirdness is like totally different. No one's ever done it. I don't get it. We've been talking about the oral arguments that began today in the Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health. That's the Mississippi case. And it does directly challenge Roe v. Wade and the Casey case, the previous cases, in that they have the limitation 15 weeks and theirs cannot be. So essentially the Mississippi law cannot be fully realized because it conflicts with the federal decision, except the federal decision on Roe v. Wade. And this is something that the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg and a number of progressive activists, by the way, have said, is that it's just a bad ruling because it is legislation. It's a legislation from the bench. It's not a ruling on existing law. And that's a huge that's a significant problem with this. There's a number of problems with the whole thing, with how Roe was just badly designed. It is a bad precedent. And by the way, some of the people who've criticized this as not being grounded in the Constitution, I mean, you have Edward Lazarus, former law clerk to Roe's author, the guy who wrote it, Harry Blackmun. And he said that Roe is indefensible when it as a matter of constitutional interpretation and judicial method. You're talking about someone who's not like the bastion of conservatism. I mean, it exceeded its constitutional authority because the power to make law, to create brand new law. This is something that is, when you sit here and say that this is a power that's vested in Congress, what you're ultimately saying is that this is a power that is of the people. Remember, and never forget this, Congress is you. These people represent you. You are their bosses. Do not let these people get it twisted. They're retained in action by state legislatures. And the Supreme Court cannot substitute some sort of preference for policy because where there has not yet been action taken by the elected representatives of people, or if there has been action taken by these elected representatives and it's disliked by activists, you can't have the Supreme Court come in and just legislate it. I mean, that's the whole issue. I mean, this is, I mean, you even have Rehnquist who, I mean, William Rehnquist, and then I have a whole bunch of, you get the point from all these progressive activists. I mean, they're actually a little concerned about how this actually affects other cases, because, and it also misrepresented the history of the practice and the attitude towards it. That's another, you know, huge point here. But the privacy right, and this is what I want to touch on, because that Roe versus Wade was ultimately a privacy ruling, right? A right to privacy. And the idea that the determination to have an abortion is considered a right to privacy, that does not have a foundation. There's nothing within the text of the Constitution or the minutes of its creation that has any kind of, there's no support in that for that argument in the Constitution or founding documents. So what they've done with Roe v. Wade is they've expanded it to say that a right to privacy includes whether or not you want to have an abortion. That's also a definition of privacy. That's insane. That is a stretch. That bastardizes the 14th Amendment's whole idea and interpretation of personal liberty. And that's, I mean, and the other thing too is that I don't think it's ever been examined. Now, this is me pretending to be a lawyer. I don't think that it's ever been examined whether or not the intent of the drafters of the 14th Amendment actually had the determination to include as a provision of privacy the being able to, or the act of obtaining an abortion. It doesn't make any sense. The 14th Amendment wasn't about the creation of a different, separate, new right. It was about securing existing rights with people who deserved those existing rights. Rights that were already guaranteed by the Constitution. There's no constitutional grounding to that. And it doesn't matter. You should be able to, if you are somebody who's pro-abortion, whether it is for whatever reason, that's something you should be able to acknowledge if we're going to have a discussion and base it in fact. If we can even agree on that point right there, that there isn't a legal founding in that already, and that the right to privacy was bastardized to the point where it actually could, this could threaten other things that affect all of us, then we can't get past that. We're never going to be able to have a debate on it. That's the whole thing. I mean, it is. It doesn't fit into that definition of privacy. It doesn't. I mean, it not at all. In fact, there's one thing. I was reading a piece, and I want to make sure I have this correctly, that discusses a woman's right or abortion, how it nullifies the right of procreation that was upheld in Skinner. And then, of course, the contraceptive issue with Griswold, et cetera, et cetera. The privacy right, though, think about this for a minute. If you're going to have, and this is what I'm talking about, how dangerous it is for everything else. If you're going to stretch the definition of privacy to include abortion, how is that not something that can be applicable to pretty much everything that you would do in private outside of public view? What about, you know, beating your kids? You see where I'm going with this? This is why it's illogical. The other thing that I have in here, and then I want to move on and get into some of this other stuff, because we'll come back to this. Because Roe wasn't based in solid law, which is a separate point irrelevant to the position on conception, and its negative impact on cases that progressives champion. Again, if you're going by, and I defined, if you're just joining us, the stare decisis, that is the doctrine that obligates courts to look at precedent. It's not a command about precedent, right? Gay marriage would be illegal and punishable, no matter your opinion on it, by various penalties in certain states if you went by stare decisis. Schenck v. U.S., I could sit here and go on and on. But I noticed this came up a lot. In fact, Clarence Thomas brought up bodily autonomy. And then you had Amy Coney Barrett, who was the first. Amy Coney Barrett was the first to bring up the vaccination debate for the coronavirus with regards to bodily autonomy. And the argument for bodily autonomy, and I find it interesting that this misses this, it's absent from the virus vax debate. What is omitted is the autonomy exercised before and up to conception. Now, going by the statistics that Planned Parenthood is obligated by law to provide, It is really hard to argue that the state, and I will quote counsel on this that was arguing for the Roe, arguing against Dobbs, I should say, taking control of a woman's body. It's hard to argue that the state is, quote, taking control of a woman's body, end quote, when it was a woman and man's decision to participate in an action that may result in conception. Now, I'm not one of those people who's like against birth control and all that stuff. In fact, let me remind you that it was Republicans two Congresses ago that were trying to make it over the counter, and they were blocked by a number of Democrats who were beholden to Planned Parenthood, who wanted to make sure that they could keep people coming into their doors. You can go and look at the receipts on that and understand the advocacy and the strategy that they had. I think Daily Caller did a whole piece on it. Now, when you're talking about their own numbers, barely 0.5% are rape or incest. And as I said, I'm fine having a conversation if you did to save the 99% about the 0.5% as a result of rape or incest. Let's have that conversation then. But the argument about how, oh, well, you know, the life of a mother, there is no decent doctor allowed to practice who would let a woman carry a risky pregnancy to term. And somebody brought up ectopic pregnancies. Are you morons? The people who brought this up? Do you realize that an ectopic pregnancy, that's when it's in the fallopian tube, that the baby is not in a viable position and is not going to survive, and we do not have the technical capacity to save ectopic pregnancies, sadly? How in the world is it 2021 and we have people this damn stupid about biology? Are these people using leeches still as part of their medical treatment? For real, I'd love to know what kind of witch doctoring is happening in their lives. Jeez. It's insane. It's just amazing to me to hear some of this. This idea that, well, abortion, you know, it can be, it's actually not medically necessary. As someone who's had a child two times now, it's not. The idea that the only way to save a woman is to terminate the baby and then take the dead body out of the mother's body or deliver the child and kill the mother. Oh my gosh. That's nuts to me. And again, you know, you're talking about, we're getting into like witch doctor territory here. I'm just amazed at some of this stuff. I mean, there have been a number of, you know, OBGYNs who've come out and they're like, wait, who's saying that this is an actual viable form of healthcare? We'll talk more. I know we're running out of time at this point. We're going to get into that more. And I'm also, this is what else we have coming up. This situation with what the administration is going to launch Thursday, tomorrow. Backdoor lockdown. So the idea is that apparently there are going to be some restrictions coming with regards to traveling that involve American citizens. Washington Post is saying that the Biden administration is considering a new mandate that everybody coming to the United States, including citizens, you got to quarantine for 7 days. Now, how in the world are you going to enforce this? Because that's a lockdown. We're going to discuss this here coming up. And then we're also going to get in, I got a number of other things to get into as well, because this Ron Klain, White House Chief of Staff, said stronger coronavirus measures produce stronger economic outcomes. Oh my gosh, what? We'll get into that. We'll also get into how a federal judge has blocked Biden's coronavirus vaccine mandate nationwide for healthcare workers. We got that for you as well. And a number of other things, including new body cam footage reveals an NBC producer admitted that he was told to follow the jury bus. And then we got some stuff with IOC and China. And we were going to try to very much get past the name of the head of the IOC, which is a unintended pun just then by itself. All right. As we, it, you know, it's true. As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Superbeats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Superbeats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Superbeats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be two times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. Superbeats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Shooting down woke culture. One crazy headline at a time. It's the Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Make sure you go sign up for that newsletter. And if you haven't, make sure.
Gotta grab it.
You get my book, my children's book, Paws Off My Cannon, which is out this week. And you can go. I've got links everywhere. I put it out with Brave Books. And it teaches all about self-defense and responsibility and truth. And I'm very excited about it. And it's fun. I love the illustration. And I know that there's other book series out there. They're unfortunately printed in China, which I found out. This is actually printed in Canada. But you can actually print books in North America. You don't have to print kids' book series in China. So this is printed in North America and everything else U.S. based. So I'm excited to work with Brave Books on this. But you got to go check it out because it's a great story. And you can also go and get 10% off using Dana. It's on all over my social media. And get the treasure chest, which is the whole, like you get six books of the series and all kinds of stuff and like games and everything else. But pause off my cannon. And not selling these in stores because I don't feel like dealing with cancel culture. I'm not going to risk, you know, I always have a fight with people whenever I have books on Amazon, and I'm not going to risk fighting with Barnes & Noble and everybody else about this. So, and everything, I believe the treasure chest, because there were only 5,000 made, I think that they're almost out. So make sure that you go and get yours, because very excited about that. And you can get it in time for Christmas. We have coming up later on next hour, Congresswoman Nancy Mace is going to be joining us on the show. And I got a number of questions for her. She went recently, which is like last week, with a House delegation to Taiwan, right? Was in Taiwan and made the CCP mad. And I like making the CCP mad. But then instead of talking about it, she got in a big fight with other congressional members, and I don't understand why. So we're going to talk. She's going to be coming up next hour, bottom of next hour. You don't want to miss. And additionally, one of the other stories that we have to talk about, out of every field that you want based on meritocracy, right, where merit should actually count, don't you think it should be medicine? Washington Free Beacon has a story that doctors are warning new medical school guidances are leading to unqualified physicians and unscientific medicine because they're anti-meritocracy. Wait until you hear this. Stay with us. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As I told the American people yesterday, this new variant is a cause of concern, but not a cause to panic. On Thursday, I'll put forward a detailed strategy outlining how we're going to fight this COVID this winter, not with shutdowns and lockdowns, but with more widespread vaccination, boosters, testing, and much more.
So then why are we hearing that there are going to be like more restrictions for all of this? Why are we hearing that there are going to be more restrictions on travel and everything else, which is essentially like a backdoor lockdown? Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you. Make sure you go sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse. And you can also, that's where you can also access my children's book, Paws Off My Cannon, which came out this week. Very stoked about that. We've been covering the opening arguments, the oral arguments today in the Mississippi case, the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health, the case that is challenging, it's going to challenge Roe v. Wade and the prior Casey as well. And we've been kind of going over that and discussing it, because they so far the court's adjourned, but they're coming back Monday to continue, and we'll bring that as well. Biden speaking about supply chain concerns. I don't think he's going to do anything to alleviate any of that. And then he's expected to announce, apparently, anybody who's traveling, doesn't matter if you're an American or not, you're going to, when you come back to the country, you're going to face a 7-day quarantine. But I thought, why do we have to have quarantines if we have vaccines? Huh? I thought the vaccines were working and safe and effective and all that jazz, blah, 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 right? Isn't that what we were all told? I mean, I know I was told that. Was I lied to? Now, you could take the other way to get back into the country, and that way is to just go to the southern border and cross over. Not only would you be able to just come back in, but apparently you can get up to $450,000 just by coming back in. Sounds, you know, hey, I mean, I don't have anywhere to go, but, you know, maybe I could go just head on down to KURV land and skip on down there, and then maybe, you know, we get to be some. But it's a backdoor lockdown. The president is considering, or apparently that's what we're going to have harsher rules on vaccinated citizens and unvaccinated people who enter the country.
Everything's on the table.
So they said that the stricter testing requirements for everybody reentering the United States, all Americans, because they want to stop the Omicron or Omicron, whatever, And so they're announcing this tomorrow. Everybody who enters has to be tested one day before boarding flights, regardless of whether or not they've been vaccinated. So then what's the point of this stupid injection? This is so stupid. This is so dumb. Anti-vax. I thought if they're, these people sound anti-vax, not everybody else. People who don't go by the requirements can be subjected to fines and penalties. And apparently they're going to include, now it says they're debating. They're looking at a proposal to demand that all travelers, including citizens, self-quarantine for 7 days, even if they have test results that are negative. What? Yeah. There you go. Oh my gosh. So they've been, this is what they've been working on. And apparently they're still ironing out some key details. And CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said that they're looking at a range of measures to protect. Remember the South African doctor, Angelique Kotesi, who said that these, and she's head of the South African Medical Society. And she was saying that this variant is a lot milder. She said that the symptoms are unusual and apparently people are not losing their sense of taste or smell. And she said that it's, you know, the symptoms are unusual, but it's a lot milder. So why is everybody freaking out? How are they going to enforce self-quarantining? You have 200,000 people a day that come in on average. In November, it was 200,000 people a day that arrived a day. Now, and that, by the way, does not include Thanksgiving travel. So we're going to find out, I guess, details as to like when this is this going to start before Christmas? I'm sure people are going to have some problems with that. Good heavens. So don't plan on going out of the country unless you want to. Seriously, how in the world could they stop you? Let's say I go out of the country and come back and they're like, oh, it's a 7-day self-quarantine. Physically make me. And we'll see how well that works out for you. Right? How are they enforce that? Kane, what if you come back? Say, Kane, you go because you're, you know, a lawful American. You go and you visit family in Mexico and you come back.
Yep. Matamoros, I actually have some.
And you come back and they're like, up, wait a minute, sir. Mr. Kane, since you only have one name. You're going to have to, doesn't matter. And you could be like, here's my negative test. Doesn't matter. Here's my vaccination status. I've been triple, quadruple boosted. Doesn't matter.
Right. Here's my antibody test.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. You have to quarantine for 7 days, self-quarantine. Mm. So say you go back home because, you know, you've been traveling, you're out of the country and you're like, well, dang, I need to go and I need to go to the grocery store. Now you could, I mean, I think it's a tax upon people to demand that they pay for delivery for everything. And plus, I would never like to buy meat through a grocery delivery service. I like to get my own cuts. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Kane, so you need to get some red meat, right? You're like, you know what? It's a mild December day. I'm going to go and grill a steak. I'm going to get a London broil or something, grill it out in my backyard. I'm going to run to Tom Thumb or Kroger. Oh, but wait, you got that 7-day mandatory self-quarantine. When you open your door to leave, are there going to be people out there making you stay in your home?
So am I answering in Mexico coming back here to the United States, or am I answering?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I'd find a real reliable coyote and maybe get myself back here to the United States. The other question is, I would just go to the store. If they refuse me, I guess I would find another store until I'm not refused. And then if that doesn't work, I'll just go hunt for my own meat.
Oh, but you can't go outside. You got to self-quarantine.
Yes. Okay.
Remember? You got to self-quarantine. Can't go outside. You can't. But
say I'm on day 8.
Why don't you just like pretend to not speak English and just be like, I'm coming in illegally. And then they'd be like, wait, hold up. You magically don't have to do any of this. By the way, would you like a 6-figure check?
Yes.
Excellent.
Now we're talking.
There you go. Hell, I may do that. I'm not even joking. I am not joking. If they do that, and because I want to go fishing, I need to go somewhere, I need to go somewhere in the Caribbean and go fishing, have some rum, do my thing, come back. I swear to you, hands to sky, I'm going to come back that way. I'm not even messing with you. I am so going to hop, skip across the Rio. That's going to happen. You're going to see my gringo butt running across the wall there, that little shallow dam. That's what you're going to see. Me running across there with everybody else. Be like, wait a minute, no. And I'll grab somebody's kid, little bitty kid. Where's my check? Where's my check? Noel Blangle, where's my check? That's what I'm going to say. That's how it's going to work. That works, right?
Yeah.
Just suing the government, I guess, is the avenue.
I think that works out well. What are they going to do? Are they going to actually make you? That's what I don't understand. Anybody who enforces this needs to get out. Get out. Back door lockdown. Speaking of which, by the way, did you check this out? This is in Australia. Teenagers were removed from this community after they escaped from a quarantine facility. The Northern Territories. Police say that three teenagers allegedly absconded from Darwin's Howard Springs COVID quarantine facility. This was, this morning for us, but pretty much almost yesterday for them now. It was at a COVID update press conference. North Territory's Chief Minister Michael Gunner confirmed that the 15, 16, and 17-year-olds, they tested negative. All three were from the Bengari community near Catherine. They had been sent to quarantine as close contacts. This is in Australia. Their police commissioner said officers found the trio on the edge of Palmerston. I don't know where the hell that is. And arrested them after a chase on foot. They chased them down and arrested them. The facility is housing people in the Catherine region. Any return travelers, repatriation flights, all of this. They're making them live in these camps. Jeez. Why is it? Legitimate question. Well, two things that I actually want to discuss. First, we'll get to this later. Why do communists pickle their dead leaders? That's the first question I have. Like, you got a pickled dead commie in Russia. You got Lenin. You got another pickled dead commie in China with Mao. Like, what is up with the pickled dead commies? That's number one. But number two, what in the hell is the left's obsession with camps and putting people in camps? Why do you people always come back to that? I mean, throughout history, they're like, what if we put them in camps? In Germany, in Nazi Germany, what if we put people in camps? In Cambodia, killing fields, Pol Pot, what if we put them in camps? In China, what if we put them in camps? I mean, what in the world is with you people? In Russia, what if we put people in camps? What is with it? There's two things that these people that the left are obsessed with. Trains and camps. And sometimes trains to camps. I don't understand it. Why is that always the thing? They always do that. Let's see. In Nazi Germany, we put people in camps, killed about a third of a people. But hey, you know what? How about in Australia? We do it again. More people in camps. Japanese internment camps. That was a Democrat. FDR. The D stands for demon. He put people in camps. What is up with these people in camps? If a leftist ever asks you, do you want to go camping? Your answer is no. Because that doesn't mean, I don't care if you think you've known him forever. If they're a leftist and they ask you to go camping, your answer is no. Hail no. H-A-I-L. Why would you ever do that? Good heavens. Right? Would you ever do that? Go camping? Hey, Kane, let's go camping.
No, and I also hate the whole idea of you're sick until proven healthy.
Like, oh, that's a good way to say that.
You know what I mean? It's like guilty mm-hmm. until proven innocent. That's not what we're founded on here.
Can you imagine the way, I remember when I was young, I was a kid in the 90s, and I remember the whole Ryan White thing. Remember that? The kid who had AIDS, and they made a big deal about him going to school, and I felt so bad for this kid. People were freaking out because people didn't understand it. And I'll be dang. I mean, everybody sits here and talks about awareness, but no one actually educates people. All you got to do is send somebody and be like, look, this is how this works. Blah, 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 blah. This is not communicable, like in the air and all this stuff. Like, I mean, good heavens. I really feel like we are in that kind of hysteria now with the left and coronavirus. Right. And they're the way that they freak out over everybody. If, I mean, natural immunity is irrelevant. All this is irrelevant. Can you imagine if they reacted this way to every single disease ever? Can you imagine if the left did this to like the Ryan Whites back in the 90s? It's great. We're going to put everybody in camps. Can you imagine? Jeez. As the holidays approach, give back to our deployed service members by shopping Black Rifle Coffee Company. Black Rifle Coffee Company is not your typical coffee company. Developing their explosive roast profiles with the same mission focus learned as military members, Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders. With every purchase you make, they give back. Now, for every coffee purchase you make throughout November, Black Rifle Coffee will send a bag of limited edition holiday roast to a service member currently deployed overseas, delivered by Christmas morning. Founded and operated by veterans, the team at Black Rifle Coffee Company know what a quality cup of coffee means to active duty troops spending the holidays away from home. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV today. The team has spent thousands of hours tasting and perfecting coffee from all over the world to bring you the freshest coffee in America. Use promo code DanaTV for 20% off coffee, apparel, gear, and 20% off your first month of the coffee club. That's blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV.
If you make a mistake or don't quite hit the mark, does that mean you're a bad person? Pastor Alan Jackson doesn't think so.
One of my favorite parts of the Bible is that all of our heroes have flaws. And there's nobody in there that the story's not told about.
Yeah.
And when I hear Christians stand up, because I've been married 63 years and I've never been mad at my wife, I think either, well, you're too stupid to be aware or you're lying to me, because life comes with challenges.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so apparently this is something that was very interesting. I was reading about this morning. I didn't realize that net neutrality, because California has been dealing with data prohibitions. They said that the net neutrality data prohibition imposed by the new California law is actually a choke point in shutting down free data used in the VA's telehealth app. And so as a result, this is means that veterans in California actually are getting locked out. And they said that it's actually harming the consumer. And they're talking about it as it relates to this Wall Street Journal piece, talking about one of the lady who was suggested for the FCC chair. She was a counselor to Obama. She left a left-wing group called Public Knowledge, and she's promoting net neutrality. And they, veterans in California, got locked out of the telehealth app. I didn't know that. Wow. That's kind of, holy wow. That's kind of crazy. I'm so happy. Miss Kentucky, I don't care about really pageants. I like things that, I have no problem with pageants. But the Miss Kentucky, she easily beat the trans contestant, the man who was going as Miss Nevada, and the PTSD, I don't know why that, it was like the wokest Miss USA ever. Journalist Ellie Smith took home Miss Kentucky pageant crown back in May, and then she beat 50 girls from across the nation to win Miss USA title. Very excited about that. And she deserved it. She deserves it because she is a she, and she deserved it. And it's Miss USA. That's it. Fight me. New York Magazine is being mocked because they decided to do what is called Beyond Parody, a 400-page book of essays on the greatness of AOC, honoring her beauty, her rare authenticity, and her prominence. And it's apparently, it's called Take Up Space, which is all she does. And it's published by Simon & Schuster. That is actually beyond parody. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a Babylon Bee thing when I first saw it. Alec Baldwin's giving his first interview since the Rust shooting. It's going to air on ABC. Interesting. Tomorrow, Gloria Allred, who represents one of the people suing him, joins us. And now, coming up next, Congresswoman Nancy Mace. Stick with us.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
These investments we expect will lead to a GDP increase over the long term without increasing the national debt or deficit by a dollar. In fact, the offsets in these bills mean they actually reduce annual deficits over time.
That's Janet Yellen. No one believes her. No one believes that, because that's what we keep hearing, that this is, first off, we heard everything was transitory. It's not, with inflation. Now we hear build back better. It's not going to increase national debt or deficit by a dollar, except that's not how it was scored, from my understanding, with CBO. And I know it's being fought over in the House right now. And I think that there's some procedural stuff that's going on with it today. For this and a number of other issues, we go to Congresswoman Nancy Mace, very busy lady in the news a lot lately as well. And first off, Congresswoman, good to see you. Thank you so much for joining me. I know you've kind of been running around. What's happening with this in the House right now? Because I know the Senate was reconsidering something. They're going to send something stripped down back to the House. Is it going to be another party line vote? Will it pass?
Yeah, everything will be party line vote on this. And what you were talking about with Build Back Better, it's going to add almost $400 billion to the deficit. We're told this would literally cost nothing and will cost the American people dearly. And with the Biden administration, we're seeing President Biden, with the inflation crisis we're having, they think more spending is going to help inflation. Well, we know more spending is going to cause greater inflation. Same thing with raising taxes. It will all increase to the inflation woes that we have today, not to mention the Federal Reserve continuing to print trillions of dollars every single year. This is only going to make the situation worse. And as you said before, they told us inflation was transitory. It's not. They told us that Build Back Better would cost nothing. It doesn't. They told us that the infrastructure bill would be paid for. It's not. That infrastructure bill is going to cost the American taxpayers. It'll add $250 billion to the deficit. So just one lie after the other right now.
Yeah. We've been talking for, I don't know, like weeks on end, all the bad stuff that's in this, the weaponization even further of the IRS. And I was reading about a kill switch in cars, all kinds of bad stuff in this. So we'll keep our eye on it. I want to switch gears because you recently, you went to Taiwan. I want to get into that. And you went to Taiwan. This was like, what, last week with part of a delegation? And I was pulling up the story where you used Republic of Taiwan in a tweet, and it made the Communist Party of China incredibly mad. I love good trolls on the CCP. What have you heard in terms of rage about your recognition of Taiwan as a sovereign entity in your visit?
Oh, they were so angry and pissed off. In fact, it was the Chinese embassy here in D.C. that wrote an email to myself and the other members of the delegation before we got on our flight to Taiwan, demanding that we back down, demanding that we cancel our trip to Taiwan. And thank God, I don't take orders from communist China, and neither did anyone else on that delegation on that trip. And it was a real honor, because this was the first time in 2 years we had a delegation from the U.S. House of Representatives. Because of COVID-19, our delegations have been severely impacted by that because of the spread of COVID. And to be a part of this mission to go over there and meet with the Minister of Foreign Affairs, meet with the President, President Tsai. She's a bit of a badass, I got to admit. And I've heard from so many people around the world, and mind you, not just Republicans who loved that tweet, but Democrats as well. And I had Taiwanese people coming up to me in tears when I was over there, thanking me for the head nod, for the acknowledgement and recognition that they are a free and democratic society. and that we should be doing what we can to protect those freedoms. If we lose it there, we can lose it anywhere. And I think that's extremely important to realize, remember how important the Asia-Pacific, Indo-Pacific region is to freedoms and democracies everywhere around the world. I really took that away from this visit.
Related to that, and I hadn't planned on asking you this, should the U.S. maybe not participate in the Beijing Olympics coming up?
We should not. Whether that's from a government standpoint or just pull out altogether, the fact that we have such human rights atrocities, that we turn our backs on the genocide with the Uyghurs, you know, all because we don't want our iPhones to cost $5,000 or our next, you know, KitchenAid mixer, we don't want to spend $800 on it, right? The world is turning a blind eye to what China is doing. And while we were in Taiwan on our visit, it was upwards of a dozen warplanes that crossed the ATIS, the Air Defense International Zone between China and Taiwan, just because there were five members from Congress meeting with different members of the Taiwanese government and even with civilian technology companies while we were there. We were looking at some of the innovation going on over there. And so it's not us, it's them, and the world needs to hold them accountable. And it's not just militarily. There are non-kinetic economic ways to do that. Pulling out of the Olympics would be one method to do that. Also, having more free trade agreements with different countries around the world and pulling some of our manufacturing out of China to make sure that China understands any aggression toward any of our friends or allies or partners around the world, it'll be costly and expensive and unaffordable to the communist China.
Yeah, I wish that we had an administration that would put forward that message, because it's peace through strength, and people need to understand that. That's how to do it. We're talking with Congresswoman Nancy Mace. All right, so I have to ask you about this, all of, because I'm seeing it from the right and the left on the vaccine thing. And I don't like to trust media instantly, because I loathe almost all of them. And it almost really doesn't even matter what side anybody falls on. I don't get along with very many people. But I wanted to ask you about, you're accused of saying that you're accused of supporting masks and vaccines. And then you're accused of, when you go on CNN, and then you were accused of going on Fox, accused of being against masks and vaccines, and only talking about natural immunity on Fox. So where do you fall on this, especially when we got POTUS apparently launching new restrictions tomorrow?
It's so crazy. It's all a complete lie. I sort of bristle at the description of this that I'm going to use, but it's entirely fake news. I have always been very transparent about what I think policy should be. I had a really bad case of COVID-19 a year and a half ago, and I still have suffered from long-haul symptoms. I have chronic fatigue from time to time, shortness of breath, and about 2 months ago, I was diagnosed with asthma. Wow. And so, I'm getting all sorts of battery of tests and figuring out why this is happening, but never, asthma does not run in my family. Myself and two other immediate members of my family who all have had COVID now have asthma. So it's something is going on there. But I've encouraged vaccinations. When Delta variant was raging, I chose to wear a KN95 mask. That's my choice. And my choice encouraging people to talk to their doctors about what is the right decision for them, not mandating it by the government. That's not the federal government's role. It's never been done before. They have no right constitutionally to mandate businesses or people to get vaccinated in any way, shape, or form. It's a state level issue. But at the same time, those who have natural immunity are discriminated against with U.S. policy. Mm-hmm. And there was a study in September of 21 by Israel with 700,000 patients that showed that those with natural immunity have 27 times more protection. I'm not saying don't get vaccinated. I'm saying when we're looking at policy at federal, state, and local level, there should be provisions where we look at all of the science, not just the science that fits our political narrative or fits the next mandate that the government wants to shove down our throats, but that we have to look at all of the science. And I've seen it with my kids who have natural immunity when, you know, they got exposed to school because they weren't vaccinated. They had to quarantine for 14 days at home. Of course, didn't get COVID-19, but there just should be some provisions and protections in there for those who have had it and perhaps, you know, still have natural immunity and treat those equally. That's science, right? Mm. That's definition of science, not the definition of Dr. Fauci's science, which is he is science, right? There's nobody else.
Yeah.
So it's a very reasonable, pragmatic, and scientific when approaching it at all levels.
So this, and we're talking with Representative Nancy Mace, because I was reading this Washington Post piece says that because they don't have all the details ironed out yet, apparently Biden's going to come out tomorrow and talk about Americans coming back into the United States. And it doesn't matter if one of the things I think that they're still trying to determine is doesn't matter if you had it natural immunity, doesn't matter if you've had the full vax and 11 trillion boosters, you're going to have to self-quarantine for 7 days. Apparently, that's one of the things they're considering. I don't even know how that is enforced, and how would Republicans push back on that? Because that sounds ludicrous.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, so I can't, you know, really say what they're planning to do, and I'll obviously comment on it when it comes out. I think it's very difficult to enforce unless you invest billions of dollars of people to track you when you come back to the United States. And they very may well do that. I mean, they're going to spend $80 billion to put 89,000 new IRS agents in place to spy on our bank accounts. Maybe they'll do that too. Those are things that communist China does, right?
Right.
Goes with this administration, what they have done multiple times over, whether it was the eviction moratorium or mandating vaccinations at businesses, the federal level, it's all been unconstitutional. And I would not expect anything less from the Biden administration at this juncture.
Yeah. I have to ask you, too, in your profile, it said you were at one time you waitressed at Waffle House. And when you interviewed to get a job there, did they ask if you could fight?
No. But, you know, I dropped out of school when I was 17. So I do have a fighting spirit. In me.
And you know why I bring this up? Because I looked at your timeline. I looked at your timeline before you joined me on air. You have been fighting with Marjorie Taylor Greene for 24 hours now. Talk to me about this. What is going on?
I stopped last night. I did it for about maybe 12 hours yesterday. You know, I have been equal opportunity when I've been held people accountable if they are bigoted or racist. You know, it's incumbent upon us to hold ourselves accountable. And if we don't, we're going to lose people, we'll lose independence, we'll lose women in the suburbs, particularly going into a very important midterm election. We have got to take our country back. But I'm not going to tolerate liars. And my colleague from Georgia lied about my record, that I was pro-choice, and I just am not. I was raped when I was 16. And I've been an advocate for rape survivors most of my adult life, and also for women who are victims of incest. And I'm pro-life. I always have been. But I do have exceptions for women who are raped or victims of incest. That is the Republican Party platform. And to be lied about, to have her, she doctored videos of me to make it look like I'm pro-choice, lying about my record. I'm the only one that can defend myself and defend my record. And I am a fighter. And I'm going to stick up for myself. I'll stick up for my constituents, my state, and my country when I feel it's necessary to do so. And I said what I wanted to say yesterday, and then I stopped. And, you know, she's continuing on. It is what it is. But I'm not going to be bullied. You're not going to allow someone to lie about my record. What's going on in our country is devastating right now. I'm watching Nancy Pelosi put our Constitution through a shredder every single day. And I'm a single mom with two kids I'm raising in this country. It's a different nation today than it was when you and I were growing. I'm willing to fight for my kids. I'm willing to fight.
And that's why, because you have all these other, because you went to Taiwan, which I thought was an amazing thing. And I thought that you did something that not a lot of other lawmakers did. And it got so lost in this back and forth, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it started with the Lauren Boebert thing with Congresswoman Boebert and the Ilhan Omar. And I think you were on CNN, and I guess they had asked you about it. Not fully. I did not watch that interview. I just saw a headline about it.
And I have condemned Ilhan Omar's anti-Semitism. I've condemned Maxine Waters when she incited violence at a riot. I've condemned violence, whether it was Paul Gosar in anime. Like, somebody's going to get killed. Somebody's going to get hurt. And I condemned Lauren Boebert's remarks. I thought they were inappropriate. But I also, talked about how she recognized that it was wrong, and she apologized for it. That was the first time in a long time that someone on either side of the aisle was willing to take responsibility for their comments and recognize that this was something I should not have said and apologize for it. And we need more of that, not less. And that was the sentiment. And then 3 days later, you know, my colleague from Georgia lost it for I don't know what reason. I think that there is a gap of people that are conservative, but also sane. I want to win back the majority next year. Mm. The only way we can do that is if we are united, all factions of our party.
Agree.
And we bring independence back to the fold. And Governor-elect Youngkin, he proved that in Virginia, that there was a path to us having a majority. And I'm not talking about a slim majority. I'm talking about a massive majority, landslide, bloodbath win next year, if we can get it together and stop attacking one another. But I just have a zero tolerance policy for being bullied by either side.
Look, I get you, because when people misrepresent you, you wanna hit back. But you said something important, because Youngkin didn't fight that way, and he was successful. And the fighting with Marjorie Taylor Greene, and look, I don't dislike her, and I don't dislike you, and I wish everybody could get along, because I like strong women who, I mean, for crying out loud, you worked at Waffle House. It's like, that's kind of like boot camp, isn't it? I mean, look, I love Waffle House. I went there. I had a friend who worked there, and she jokingly said that she was asked whether or not she could fight when she interviewed in college. But it cracks me up. But very strong personalities. And I think Omar should apologize, too. But unfortunately, we can't hold accountable, you know, their anti-Semitic remarks. Let me ask you this. Would you ever get along? Would do you think that you all could be friends? And
I have said this from the day before I got elected. I am always going to be willing to work with anyone who's willing to work with me. I've broken a lot of barriers in my life. I got there by fighting. I was the first woman to graduate from the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. I will not be a doormat for anybody, and I will not be bullied. But at the same time, I grew up with Reagan, and he encouraged us as conservatives to reach across the aisle and to work together. And that's my message to anybody here today. I will work with you if you're willing to work with me and move forward and move this country forward in a way that wins it for the American people. Better health, better prosperity, better economy, better future for all of our kids and grandkids. And that's what is most important to me more than anything else.
There you go. Well, I hope that you all can get along. I'm happy that you guys aren't fighting anymore, because like I said, I thought the Taiwan thing got overshadowed by all of that.
I've been talking about Taiwan actually for quite some time now, and probably 4 or 5 days, because it got almost an international incident. But the other thing I want to mention too is, given the vitriol in our environment right now, I am a single mom, and I now carry a gun everywhere I go. I have 6 guns now. I have 4 new pistols I got this summer. And, you know, the place where we are in this country, it's sad that that's what I have to do, but that's how I protect myself and I protect my family. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to ensure their safety and the safety of our country moving forward. And these are things we all should be able to agree on and not be fighting or be worried about.
Agreed. We're going to get. Agreed. Well, I hope that I see more. I would love to see like this union of alpha women in the Republican Party and completely stand up against, you know, Nancy Pelosi and have this common ground. So I hope that you and Marjorie Taylor Greene can get along, because I think you both can do a lot of good. And I think Lauren Boebert with you can do a lot of good. And I love to see that strength, because, you know, I mean, I think we just have more alpha women on the Republican side, honestly.
Congress, we gotta help.
Yes, we do. Congresswoman Nancy Mace, appreciate your time with us. Thanks so much. If you're a longtime listener, you've heard me talk about Delta Rescue, and this is an organization that is so incredibly important to me, and right now they need your support more than ever. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many animals. Join me today in becoming a member of the Delta Rescue team with your donation. Leo Grillo, the founder of Delta Rescue, is dedicated to giving the animals he rescues the life they deserve. Donate what your heart tells you to today in remembrance of a beloved pet that made you feel the way Leo feels about all of his rescue animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana and press the green donate button. And while you're at deltarescue.org/Dana, request my free estate package for information on Delta's tax saving estate planning. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well on into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. So show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys. It is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Gosh, let's just like play air guitar and do karaoke. Let's do that. Okay. All right. So a Florida man who was like, he was called the I-4 bandit. This is Tampa Bay Times. He was like a serial bank robber. So dude spends like 2 decades, right? And he was suspended or suspended, suspected of robbing up to 19 banks along the Interstate 4 corridor. And he was in jail, gets out of prison, and immediately starts robbing banks again.
Oh, boy.
Immediately. Like that, like literally right after he gets let out. Tuesday, after robbing a bank in Clearwater. Wells Fargo on South Fort Harrison Avenue. Dude, now he's going back to prison. And a Florida woman, I'm going to have to detail this more tomorrow. I'll give you a teaser now. She offered a bad thing, a bad romantical thing, which is not romantical, in exchange for free chicken tendies. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Stay with us. We got another hour in store. Do you sometimes find yourself wondering how much control you really have over your finances? Recently, we've seen a complete assault on freedoms and liberties by the government. Mask mandates, vaccine mandates, and now even vaccine passports, all trying to limit whether you can even go to a grocery store or restaurant. And we've seen how quickly the government can infringe on your personal freedoms. So are your personal finances next. This is why I believe in diversifying with gold. Gold is physical, it's tangible, and gold is safe from government control. Gold can give you true control over your wealth, control that's not tied to government-regulated financial markets. And the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide information at legacypminvestments.com. That's Legacy, the letter P, the letter M, investments.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, thank you for listening to The Dana Show. This is columnist and podcaster Sarah Carter, and I'd like to tell you about your new best friend on Friday nights, ZBiotics. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to ZBiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/RADIO radio and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
How is your interest anything but a religious view? The issue of when life begins has been hotly debated by philosophers since the beginning of time.
Okay, this isn't a philosophy.
It's still debated in religion.
It's a science issue.
So when you say this is the only right that takes away from the state the ability to protect a life, that's a religious view, isn't it? Because it assumes that a fetus is life at...
Oh my gosh, let's play with this.
When?
Okay, let's play.
You're
with
not drawing here. When do you?
This is Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Welcome back to the show. Third hour of the program. Dana Lash here. Good to be with you all this Wednesday. This was some of the questioning during the oral arguments today that began in the Mississippi case, the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, and it's considered a challenge to Roe v. Wade. And we were going. I'm just so tired of this stupid argument. We just live in such an era of stupidity. It is shameful. I hope that asteroid hits us because I'm tired of everybody. Just let that space turd hit our rock. I don't care. Go ahead and do it. Oh, like I said, welcome back. So this ongoing discussion, the questioning, here you have Sonia Sotomayor saying, well, isn't it just basically a religious view because it assumes that a fetus is a life? That's right, Justice Sotomayor, because it's actually, there's nothing alive until you give birth. And then do you know what happens? You have a wizard come into the delivery room, and the wizard, not unlike that which has been seen in Harry Potter, stands over, or actually the genie from Pee-wee's Playhouse, stands over the inanimate meat that you just delivered of your loins and says, Mecha Lecha Hi, Mecha Hiney Ho, and waves a what is called a bippity boppity boo stick, or a wand, if you prefer. I mean, as is the, you know, correct nomenclature to go with the parlance of our times. And that inanimate bit of meat suddenly develops breath and starts crying and is a baby. There you go. How is it not a religious view to assume that it's not, that there's nothingness until the state decides to recognize it? I take issue with Sonia Sotomayor's insistence that the state determines what is and what isn't alive instead of science. This has nothing to do with religion. This is science. Are you telling me that babies don't move in utero? I've literally had humans, and I've grown two humans. So, and that's not anecdotal, it's science. So I completely challenge her religion, which informs her that it is not life. Are we this stupid? Are we so damn stupid that we're going to sit here and make ourselves look moronic and deny science to own the cons? Is that really what's going to happen? We deserve the Brando life then. It's what plants crave. It's got electrolytes. You know what? We deserve to have then doctors who are not certified based on merit, but on whether or not they like to go to bed with dudes or chicks.
I'm sorry, before I allow you to operate on me, can I ask, not whether you're competent and board certified, but do you like men or women, or are you a they them?
Right? Doesn't that make you feel better, Kane?
Oh, sure.
If you have to have your heart stopped and put on a ventilator or whatever, you want to make sure that the person doing that for you, because science, it doesn't matter. Merit is racist. It only matters, like, what their pronouns are.
I would say no. That's not the only
Why
thing.
Why are you so religious?
Is that what that is?
I mean, I'm just going by the science that guides people. I'm sorry, the faith that guides people like Sonia Sotomayor. Why?
Yeah, you're right. That's absurd.
I mean, what? It's silly. This whole thing, by the way, that's an actual real item that I was just telling you, by the way. I wasn't making that up. Doctors are warning that, new medical school guidances actually lead to unqualified positions. They say accreditation guidelines call meritocracy malignant, going along with the Sotomayor science. The Liaison Committee on Medical Education, which accredits all medical schools in North America, co-sponsored by the AMA, blah, blah, blah. They released this controversial guide to advancing health equity through language, narrative, and concepts. And they argue that individualism and meritocracy are malignant narratives that create harm. I'm reading verbatim. And it leads directly to racial health inequities. So the guidance influences not just how doctors talk, but also how they treat patients, things like that. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether or not you're good enough to cut someone open and operate on them. What matters is your pronouns.
Right? Think about it. Your child has to go life-saving operation. Do you want a dangerous, malignant person on their horrible, racist merit? And maybe they're actually like a black doctor, but whatever, merit's racist. And like super accomplished, board certified. It doesn't, I don't care if they have tentacles. Like, how accredited and certified are you? Right? I don't care if you're a damn T-Rex and you're in the operating room, which would be have to be a really big operating room. Just bear with me here. I don't care what species you even are. Are you a good doctor? Are you going to save people? Because now we're literally trying to, we're actually encouraging making these determinations based on the wokeness of people. A lot of y'all gonna die. I just don't know how else to say it.
Why are we taking science cues from the party?
We are literally becoming flat earthers. Oh my gosh. Right. Like we are, this is the new Inquisition.
From the party of unlimited genders.
They're trying to get us to admit that it's like how they did Galileo. They're coming at us trying to tell us that no, in fact, the everything revolves around the earth. We don't revolve around the sun. Copernicus is a lie. So is the cake. It's a lie. But it's a game reference. It's probably way out there. You know what I'm saying, though? It's the new Inquisition. That's never, by the way, that is a noun that has never been used on anything good in history. Whether it's the Roman Inquisition, whether it's the Spanish Inquisition. Now we have the woke Inquisition. Can we just start calling it what it is? I'm not even going to say rage mob anymore. It's the Inquisition. And now the Inquisition is saying that meritocracy is in medicine is bad. The Inquisition leads people like Sonia Sotomayor to say stupid things like it's a religious view to assume that a fetus is life. What? Life. How does it begin? Jeez. This is craziness. By the way, we actually had on Congresswoman Nancy Mace earlier, and I have people who are livid that I had her on. Because I actually think, and I think I expressed it without being a bitch about it, I think she was wrong to go after, I know Lauren Boebert, Congresswoman Boebert. She's a friend of mine. I think she was wrong to walk into that. And I don't think that she's a racist, and I don't think that she mischaracterized anything. And I met, and I know Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I like her as well. I don't dislike Nancy Mace. I just don't know why she's spending her time arguing that. For the people who expect me on my radio program to act like some inexperienced YouTuber and be rude to people that I have on my program and be a bitch just to have a little phallus measuring contest with myself, you should probably stick to YouTube comments and bad broadcasters. Because unlike that garbage, I'm actually professional. And I don't have people on my airwaves to stroke my own ego. I do it to inform my audience. If I wanted to just flex all the time, then I would do that and I would probably not have a radio show. But I assure you, you don't get to be in the top five of radio hosts nationwide and one of the top female broadcasters in the world by acting like an inexperienced, unprofessional, bad broadcaster. And I don't go to these people's jobs and knock the pimps out of their prostitute beds, and I'm not going to have them coming up here and telling me how to run my radio show. So if I want feedback from anonymous beta males who have not yet reached puberty, then I will go and I will definitely ask Twitter for that. But until the meantime, unless they have a CV that's as long as mine, no, uh-uh. And by the way, being civil isn't tolerance. And if we are at a point where every political aisle believes that civility is tolerance and acceptance, then I honestly swear to you, hands to sky, hope an asteroid comes and obliterates this stupid rock that we all live on, because humanity is lost. There you go. Be grateful for Jesus, because I wouldn't have saved you. I'm telling you now. I feel like that needs to be said, because I got people who are so livid over this. They're so mad. So, and they're always, and I know who it is. It's like usually, you know, I mean, it's always the same people. Some of them are pretty big bloggers, and they run secondary accounts, and they're paid to try to cause division, and that's a fact. So anyway, as we get moving on here, apparently now the first case of Omicron was detected in California. Duh. I bet it's in more places. I bet it's all over. I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm pretty sure it's probably Omicron. All over the place. No, it's the way that Biden and Fauci say it. Omicromb.
Omicron.
Omicromb. See? So they said that the first case of the Omicron variant has been detected in California. And Q freak out in what? When are we going to Q freak out? Like, how is this going to work out? Yeah. And interestingly, how the first case was discovered of this brand new variant, and now Biden's going to be announcing new restrictions tomorrow. Beautifully orchestrated. Oh, I'm not saying anything at all. I'm not saying, you know. So now apparently reporters, including Wall Street Journal's Sabrina Siddiq, is demanding that Psaki and Fauci, that they lobby for mandatory testing for all domestic flights. I'm going to tell you now, I think that's coming. I'm just going to go out and say, I think that that's what they're going to try to do. It'll be litigated, but I honestly think that that'll be the next thing. I don't think it'll be announced tomorrow, but you're going to see the media fearmonger over this, and that'll be the next thing. I swear to you.
We've talked about this a bunch of times on the show. The PCR testing isn't genome sequencing. Mm-hmm. And if you unfortunately do the cycle thresholds a little higher than normal, you're going to get a false positive every damn time. So I don't trust these tests and the goals behind what these tests are designed to do.
Yeah, there you go.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So Kyle Rittenhouse is no longer enrolled at Arizona State University because morons at ASU were protesting, and it was exacerbated by left-leaning student groups. Even though the 18-year-old was entirely acquitted and found innocent of all charges, they had an alliance of left-wing student groups demanding that he be kicked out of school and that demanding that ASU disavow Rittenhouse and white supremacy as though they're any way related. And this, well, they're going by what Biden dictated, right? Of course, he wouldn't come down and say anything about Daryl Brooks and the Waukesha massacre, but, you know, whatever. ASU spokesperson Jay Thorne said our records show he's no longer enrolled. And wasn't he doing it online, too? So these morons couldn't even deal with him being, like, in an online course? So stupid. Moving on, a public school district tried to charge parents more than $900,000 for records because they did a FOIA request. $900,000 to fulfill these records. It was in Minnesota. It was a public school district in Minnesota. And the Daily Caller wrote about how the Rochester Public School District on September 20th sent, they received a Government Data Practices Act request. It was made on behalf of Equality in Education, a Concerned Parents Association. So Rochester Public School District, the request asked them to release information on development of curriculum, etc. And it went back to January 2020, and they sent them a bill for $901,121.15. And they said, that how ridiculous is that? You have to be super, super specific when you ask for stuff, because they will try to use that as a way to not actually fulfill it. Isn't that ridiculous? I mean, it's like public and rich, your stuff. Gifts from the heart is the Biden White House Christmas theme. And I actually preferred Melania Trump's. And I don't know why we're making this a big deal. I don't think they're bad. The only thing I didn't like about Jill Biden's Hallmark movie named holiday decor theme is that I didn't like the big red presents at the door of one of the rooms in the way. I didn't like the big red present thing. I thought that was kind of goofy. And it was just weird. So, but I don't know. Also, a K-pop band is in trouble. I was reading this piece in the New York Post. This is the second time this has happened. Because they I don't know if they're too young to know or whatever. Purple Kiss, a popular all-girl group from South Korea, is embroiled in the latest example of Nazi symbolism for shock and awe. So they have this one chick from Purple Kiss dressed up in like the military garb, and it has like the eagle with the Nazi symbol literally right on her like front vest pocket. And so they all had to apologize and all of this stuff. And I think all of these groups are struggling on how to make their mark in this post BTS world, because it's like the Hallyu thing, like the whole like South Korean wave is a real thing. Stick with us. Mark Meadows joins us coming up.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
For Senator Cruz, he said, what happened on January 6th? What does a doctor care about what happens on January 6th or 7th or 5th? I mean, what does that tell you where his mind is at? Clearly, you're under his skin. It shows you that he's a rank partisan. But, you know, you've seen how he pushes back now. He just calls everyone else liars.
Well, talking about the January 6th stuff, Senator Rand Paul, we spoke with him yesterday. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Always good to be with you here in our third hour. Joining us right now, very familiar face. If you've paid attention to anything lately, he's got a new book out that's coming on out on December 7th called The Chief's Chief, Mark Meadows, who worked in the Trump administration, former chief of staff. Always good to see you, sir. Thank you. So congrats on the book.
Thanks. Great to be with you, Dana.
I'm going to talk to you about the book, and I also want to get into the whole electric vehicle thing, because I really enjoyed your response to the transportation secretary about electric vehicles. I had asked, I don't know if he's ever met a poor person, but for I just want to get this out of the way. Why in the world? I think this whole January 6th thing is nonsense. I think it's ridiculous. Go after people who broke the law. Why in the world are people trying to bring you before the committee? I think this is such a ridiculous witch hunt.
Well, thank you. Obviously, it's a partisan exercise because they don't have any policy to talk about. And as you know, they've been very aggressive on their subpoenas, not just with me, but with other individuals. I can tell you that yesterday, all the headlines yesterday were about, well, Meadows is going to come up and do a deposition. Well, the one key point that they didn't leave out is we're going to honor President Trump's executive privilege. I told them that very clearly. We're going to honor his executive privilege. It's not mine to waive. I'm not going to be the first chief of staff to waive it. And candidly, you know, they said, well, we've got non-privileged things that we can discuss. And so in a spirit of accommodation, we're going to help them understand. But there's several things that will come out. And one is that no one in the White House had any advance knowledge of any breach of the Capitol security, none, that President Trump not only did not delay anything, he was very proactive in getting things done. And so perhaps the testimony they hear from me is not what they have signed up for. But at the same time, we're going to do our best to make sure that the truth is told.
Yeah, the truth is, and the truth, that's always wins, even when they try to hide it. We're talking with Mark Meadows. He's got a new book out coming out December 7th called The Chief's Chief, because as you know, he was chief of staff in former President Trump's administration. Yeah, one of the, because from what I remember, the president was still on stage when a group broke away from the much larger protest and was completely on the opposite side of the complex, as I understand it, from where the president was speaking. It's a pretty large area. So it's interesting how that's always admitted. It's always omitted whenever this is being told, whenever January 6th is being discussed. No one really realizes that, I think. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you're right. The timeline just doesn't match up. And I can tell you that as we look at a lot of January 6th looking backwards, it's real easy to suggest that someone knew something at a different time. But as you mentioned, the first breach, as we understand it, happened sometime right after 1 o'clock. Well, we were nowhere close to that. He was actually still speaking. He rode back with me. We rode back in the motorcade to the White House. And there's been all kinds of stories out there by left-wing authors suggesting what the president did or didn't do. And candidly, I can tell you that even looking backwards, the president wanted to make sure it was a safe situation. I've said this before. He actually authorized up to 10,000 National Guard troops 2 days before, not necessarily because he thought there was going to be problems like we actually saw on January 6th, but he remembered Rand Paul, Senator Paul, that you were just talking about having on, and what happened in terms of some of the protesters in D.C. He knew what happened at the Republican National Convention. When people went out, there was these counter protesters. So he wanted to make sure everybody was safe. You don't authorize 10,000 National Guard troops if you have something malicious in mind.
Yeah, no, you don't at all. Talking with Mark Meadows' new book, The Chief's Chief, former chief of staff for President Trump. One of the a headline that I saw about this that I thought was very interesting, and I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat with this, but I've always wondered about the former president's, President Trump's relationship with the intel community, because I read after January 6th, he did not get any more intel briefings, which I thought was very petty and a very dangerous game to play with this, with national security. But additionally, I was curious as to whether or not there was distrust from the president towards our intel communities, which would be understandable considering everything that happened in after the 2016 elections.
Well, largely the intel community, as you know, there were some people within the intelligence community that wanted to weaponize it. We saw this with the whole Russia collusion hoax that, quite frankly, was indeed the big lie, because even Adam Schiff and some of those individuals knew without a doubt that that was false. I can tell you, I gave members of Congress on both sides of the aisles briefings on some of the things as they were coming out, not as it relates to January 6th, but if you recall, there was this whole bounty, Russian bounty story that was, well, now that, that Joe Biden said there was nothing to it, everybody, you know, they say, oh, I guess there was nothing to it. Well, we told them at the time there was nothing to it, but there was an election ahead, and it, you know, it actually filled an A block or a B block on some of the left-wing media sites.
Yeah, yeah, there was, and of course, they ended up having to actually retract that story, although they did so begrudgingly. You could tell that New York Times and others did not want to do it. The chief's chief talking with Mark Meadows, former chief of staff to President Donald Trump. And a lot of people are very, I'm fascinated by this because the former president's administration and the people that he selected, I think, were all people who were tops in their field. And these are people that I think also had a great familiarity built up with the American public, because, you know, people can tell if you're out in the streets with us, so to speak. You know, they can see, you know, they know who's where, they know who's going to the fundraisers, they know who's phone banking, they know who's coming to town. And so a lot That's of these true. People were very familiar. And I wanted to talk with you a little bit about your opinion. You were right there, chief of staff. We hear it so often described, and again, I don't believe in a lot of what the corporate press says, that it was chaotic and that, you know, Trump was indecisive. But at the same time, they would accuse him of being too decisive. So what's the real story here? Give us the inside view.
Yeah, so that's what I tried to do in the book and talk about, not only how decisive he is, but candidly how he gets different information. I try to bring the reader into the Oval Office. He'll sometimes bring in two different kinds of opinions, you know, where he knows one person has a positive opinion about a policy matter, the other one a negative. He would create what I call creative chaos. He would let them argue back and forth, and then he would make the decision based on real input and real debate. The other thing that was so false was the work ethic. Everybody talked about him not having a good work ethic. He about worked me to death, I can tell you that. I would get calls at every hour of the night and morning, and then he would follow up the next morning asking what you had gotten done between 1 or 3 a.m. and 7 a.m. in D.C.
I've known President Trump for, I don't know, a number of years, and I've known the family for a number of years. And I always laugh when I would see those headlines. And I knew that the people that he was going to pick, people like you and others that were going to be with him in that day to day grind, that y'all kind of were all each going to work each other to the point of exhaustion, because you guys are very just pedal to the metal. And that's kind of how it is. I think I and a lot of other people feel that the administration was shortchanged, because right out of the get-go, right, you know, 2016, there was an attempt to undermine and overturn a free and fair election. That was the real coup, the attempted coup, in my opinion, was right. This attempt right. to do that through these intel agencies. No accountability ever. And then we had the Georgia special election, and a lot of people were very hesitant to go out and vote because they felt shortchanged. They felt that, you know, they felt that there were a lot of inconsistencies. I mean, I had people literally who were registered to vote at my address that were illegally registered to vote at my address.
Wow.
And it took me forever to clear that up. That's me. So when people talk about voter fraud, I'm like, I've had that. I've had to fight about it with our Board of Elections. So people felt they felt cheated. They felt that they couldn't trust the system, which seemed to be by design. What would you tell people now, knowing the president as you do, being there for 4 years, seeing everything? What would you have them know about elections and campaigning and the importance of going out and representing and pushing good people into office?
Well, they need to be fully engaged. And I know how difficult it is because we all had really not only major disappointments, but still legitimate concerns still to this day in some of these states where you know that there was indeed fraud that took place, audits that need to continue to happen, not just in states where the vote total was certified that Donald Trump lost, but in the ones where he won. I mean, because we need to make sure that the ballot box is sacred. But here's what I would say to them. You don't have to look any further than Virginia. What happened is that Trump voters showed up in unbelievable numbers in Virginia. They worked the polls. We actually had a number of people working the polls. Over 90% of the polls were worked. When bad things started to happen, it got really elevated very quickly. And so my encouragement to all those that are tuned in right now is keep working with your state legislatures to make sure that they get this fixed. But the other is to show up. I can tell you the reason I ultimately ran for Congress is I happened to show up at a precinct meeting, and I was the only one.
Wow.
And I got to be the chairman of the precinct. And so you never know where it may lead you.
I did not know that. That's fascinating. Sometimes all it takes is just stepping up and showing up. Talking with Mark Meadows, former chief of staff to President Trump. And of course, you know, he represented North Carolina's 11th congressional district for a number of years as well. Last topic here for you. I wanted to bring it back to current issue. You've been in the House. You know how, goodness, it can be a brawl. You work with Nancy Pelosi, so you know I think that deserves some overtime pay. Looking at the Build Back Better, which seems like it's building everybody back better except the United States, Transportation Secretary MIA for supply chain crisis. They're talking about electric vehicles. Everybody needs to get an electric vehicle. Average price is like $50,000. People are struggling to keep food on the table. We're going into the holiday season. They just want to make sure they got a Christmas ham, a couple of gifts under the tree. The power stays on. They have heat. They have gas that's not, I mean, I filled up just last weekend, $74.95 for 20 gallons of gas. Crazy. I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think is going to happen with the Build Back Better bill, because Senate's going to send a stripped down version. It's going to be a brawl in the House. What are we going to get, and how bad is it going to be, you think?
Yeah, I'm very fearful that it will be bad. What you're exactly right. You hit the ping pong back and forth. What you'll do is you'll see the Senate strip out a lot of it. That may take a little bit longer time than what we anticipate, because you got both progressives and some of the more moderate senators that are wrestling back and forth, and so it may take a little bit more time. The real question is will the progressives take half a loaf versus a full loaf? Sadly, in the end, I think they will. What they'll say is, we're going to actually tighten this up, do some of these socialist programs, get them entrenched, and then count on future Congresses to actually cancel them out or fund them. And sadly, they will be funded. You know, there's two kinds of people that love to spend money in Washington, D.C., Democrats and Republicans. And sadly, we've got to make sure that we hold them accountable now. Because you're right, the only thing that there's been a Build Back Better has been the drug cartels because of a poor border safety issue, the Taliban because of our abysmal withdrawal in Afghanistan. And when you look about building back better, you're not seeing anything other than China really being built back better because we have gotten weak on the home front. So we've got to make sure that we push back on their bankrupt bill. We're working morning, noon, and night, and call your Republican members of Congress and make sure that you encourage them that they need to stay in the fight.
There we go. And he would know, former congressman from North Carolina, former chief of staff for the Trump administration, Mark Meadows, and the book, which is available. You can pre-order now, available everywhere. The Chief's Chief, all about his time as chief of staff for the Trump administration. Sir, always good to see you. Appreciate your time with us. Congrats on the book. And if we don't get to tell you again, happy Merry Christmas.
Happy Merry Christmas. The same to you. Thanks for all you do. God bless.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We have more to come, folks, as we get moving on this third hour of our program. And yes, I do say happy Merry Christmas, because I like happy Christmas and Merry Christmas and Merry sometimes sounds so antiquated to me and fake. Like if I'm like Merry Christmas, no, I want to say have a happy Christmas. Is that weird? I have so many weird little hangups. Anyway.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
That's right. Download the app. Take me everywhere. Portable Dana. All right. Today in Stupidity, Kane. We got to get to this.
It's Joyless Behar.
I'm going to go.
She says the First and Second Amendment need to be tweaked because we didn't have AR-15s then and we didn't have Twitter. Listen. It's true that she said it. Listen to this.
With the amendments, the First and Second Amendments did not have AR-15s in there, weapons of war, and they didn't have Twitter. So both amendments I think need to be tweaked a little bit.
Hey, you know what? Women couldn't vote either. Joyless, women couldn't vote either. So yeah, go ahead and shut up and don't vote anymore. See how fun it is? Well, yay,
the
fun.
Thing is, we did have weapons of war, and who cares if we have Twitter now?
You know, that's how we won our War of Independence, because we had weapons of war, and we also had rifling before the British did. We got that from the French. Look at the Kentucky gun, and look at some of the stuff. That's one of the ways we were able to turn the tide, that and asymmetric warfare that was used by Washington, because he was a student of Sun Tzu and some of the Roman and Greek generals. There you go. Oh my gosh, I could talk about this forever. You guys know that in addition to firearm law, I'm a huge gun history buff, right? Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Make sure you go sign up for the newsletter. Get the book, Paws Off My Cannon, my new children's book that talks all about responsibility and self-defense. It's worth it. And you can still also get that treasure chest. Get 10% off using code Dana. It's on all of my social medias. It's on Instagram on my profile, my newsletter, all of that. I'll send the link out again. Have a great night. I'll be back with you tomorrow.